Welcome to a special edition of the Weekly Take. 2026 is still young, but after an eventful first quarter in terms of global current events, it's time to check in on the state of the economy and update our outlook on commercial real estate. On this Weekly Take Extra, we're joined by CBRE's Global Head of Research, Dr. Henry Chin, to share up-to-the-moment insights across the business. My good friend Henry Chin, welcome back to the show. Great to see you.
Good to see you, Spencer. It's always good to be back to the show.
Always great to have you back. And these are some of our most popular recordings. Let's just start big picture. We're recording this at the end of April. We have a lot of macro noise going on today. Interest rates are up. We're feeling uncertainty from investors. Inflation is staying sticky. Before we get into the individual asset types, just give me the big picture.
I have to say, Spencer, global real estate market and the U.S. commercial real estate market continue to perform very, very well in the first quarter of 2026. It's not only coming from the investor capital market side, the leasing performance has been so strong. And that even when we are looking at global macro pictures, yes, we do see some slowdown, revising down a bit, but nevertheless, I think the recovery continue in our space.
Well, that's great to hear, Henry. The way that I try to frame it is that you have the news of the day on one hand, and then you have what I call the math on the other. And I think what you're saying here is, Henry, is that notwithstanding the fact there's some scary news out there, we talked about inflation, interest rates, obviously the wars, the math as measured by fundamentals in terms of people leasing, people selling, those are still going strong. Fair statement?
That's a fair statement. Real estate is all about demand and supply, right? So therefore, we look at a fact, as you say, the scientific methods. Real estate still doing really good. This asset class is really resilient.
A couple of the stars of the show of real estate in the last couple of years, of course, have been industrial and multifamily.
Mm-hmm.
But we have seen a little bit of softness in the last few quarters in these sectors. What are we seeing today?
Industrial. From the second half of last year, the leasing activity has picked up, and picked up particularly good quality of asset and the mega centers. I think the momentum has continued in first quarter of this year. We see the 14% uptick for the leasing activities for the logistics spaces, okay, which is the strongest for the first quarter for a number of years. The second one I want to highlight here, we are upgrading our whole year leasing activities by to 8%, which means we are going to see over a billion square footage of leasing transactions in 2026, which also means 2026 is the strongest leasing activity on record. So therefore, this is real. I think that industrial leasing is coming back. It's largely driven by 3PL and the manufacturing activities.
Let's dig into that in two ways, both macro and micro.
Mm-hmm.
One, I want to go back to something you said earlier, that we're seeing a disproportionate amount of this leasing in new facilities.
Yes.
So what's happening with the old facilities? That's question A.
Uh-huh.
And question B is how real is this manufacturing reshoring and how much is it driving industrial demand?
It's very interesting. I think the flight to quality also happened in the industrial spaces. So older facilities, the landlords are offering more incentive to keep the occupiers. That's the reality. So flight to quality is happening in this space. For the manufacturing segment, I think we do see first quarter of this year, the share of leasing is in the lower double digit. Within those manufacturing segments, tech, power, defense are the major drivers to take up more leasing spaces. We also did our first occupier survey for industrial spaces here in the US. We can see 40% of manufacturers, they are telling us that we're going to expand even more. So therefore, the share of manufacturing, I think, is going to increase even further because of reshoring, nearshoring is really happening here in the US.
I'm glad you said that, Henry. This is not the manufacturing show, but one of the things I say over and over and over again and is that I think our traditional real estate investors should look at not only investing near manufacturing facilities and warehouses and multifamily and other uses, but the facilities themselves. And I think we're increasingly seeing that in part because of this huge uptick in demand.
100% agree. And Spencer, one thing to wrap up the industrial spaces I want to highlight. Los Angeles was the top manufacturing demand in the first quarter of 2026. If you're thinking about 12 months ago, people talking about the tariff, there's not much of demand, the greater LA had tough challenges. But look at this, 12 months after, they are the top leasing demand for these spaces.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that because we heard some negative stories about the Southern California market, particularly the Inland Empire, which is not LA, but it's close. But I'm glad to see it's turned the corner. And I'm not surprised at all. And I think the reason is that the supply spigot shut off a little bit.
Yeah.
And once the supply spigot shuts off, existing products are going to get absorbed.
Yeah, a supply issue is quite interesting. I think over the past few years, we got tons of supply coming to the market for logistics spaces. But going forward, probably we are going back to the historical average, and compared to COVID time, it's only a third. So therefore, I think the balance of demand and supply is coming to the market before too long.
But Henry, let's talk about multifamily for just a moment.
Yeah.
And we have seen some softness in the multifamily sector, particularly in the Southeast and Texas, where there was some overbuilding. Notwithstanding that, I'm optimistic that much like we've absorbed the industrial faster than we thought, I think we're going to absorb the multi faster than we thought because of the population growth. What do you think, Henry?
Well, as I said, multifamily is always quite hard to generalize. Clearly, they are divergent in multifamily market. You're highlighting that part. But if you're thinking about the U.S. as a whole, Q1 number for rental growth is up by 0.2%. Okay, Spencer, it's not
a flat.
It's a flat, basically. And then there's a divergence, right? So to my surprise, Bay Area and San Francisco, we are seeing closer to 10% of rental growth in Q1.
Well, Henry, I got to tell you, and this is not the pat myself on the back moment, but on this show, I've said multiple times, 3 years ago, that San Francisco was the most undervalued market in the U.S. And lo and behold, multifamily is killing it there. And the reason is there's no new supply.
Exactly. And also the fact is San Francisco has regained all the rental losses during COVID as of now. So going forward, if you're small investors and if you listen to you 3 years ago, they bought the asset, I'm going to think they're going to make a decent profit. And to our surprise, I think the mountain region also rebound around 5% rental growth, which is fascinating to see that. And as you highlight the Southeast Texas area, we do see some rental decline, but the level of decline has slowed, which is again the good sign. When we pivot to the supply pictures, Q1 supply hit the lowest quarterly deliveries since 2021. So the situation might happen to multifamily, that this asset class might reach the bottom. We are going to see the stronger recovery probably into 2027. We still got an overhang supply to go through, but overall, I think 2027, we are looking to see the bottoming out.
The office sector seems to be getting a lot more interest today. And the office sector, we don't have to go back to where we were 3 years ago, but we aren't 3 years ago, we are now. And one of the comments I've made is, you know what the best time to buy office was? Last year. You know what another good time is? This year. You buy the best office in the best located submarkets, you're seeing great demand for newer product. What are you seeing, Henry?
100% agree with you, Spencer. You know I am an office boy for such a long time, and probably because I do believe the future of office return to work is going to be a new normal for us. And I want to highlight for Q1, the office rental growth in the U.S. as a whole is up by 2.2%.
Up by 2.2% year over year?
Year over year. That means we are returning to the long-term average. The long-term average is the 30 years average. And then the second one I want to highlight, this is the strongest rental growth since Q1 2020. So Spencer, that's a fantastic good news. So really, office market has already bottoming out, moving into a recovery stories.
Well, it sounds like industrial, where the new normal is like the old normal. Maybe that'll be the title of today's episode.
Yeah, exactly. And also, of course, we see the good quality of asset versus the non-so-good quality. If you look at lots of prime segment, Spencer, the rental growth is closer to 5%. So therefore, the top end of segment of office market is definitely driving the growth going forward. Every indicators we are seeing is actually the market is continuing to recover.
Quick comment on retail. We just did a terrific show with Jackson Shea, the CEO of Macerich. talking about how his leasing activity is picking up, how they're transforming some of their malls, doing a little bit more outdoor leasing, changing the tenant mix. What are you seeing in retail?
Retail is an interesting story. I think fundamental remain largely stable, and the asking rent is also going up by 2.4% year over year. I think lack of supply is still going to be a feature for the retail spaces. And we haven't seen much constructions, but new construction is largely concentrated, funny enough, in the Sunbelt market. The strongest deliverables is actually coming in Dallas and Phoenix. And I think that is the real estate fundamental side. But when we are looking at retailers' sentiment, I think the retailers become a little bit cautious because their margin has not been expanding. So therefore, they become very, very selective to choose the location they want to operate, they want to open a store. From a consumer point of view, unfortunately, petrol prices are so high, even I am in Dallas, so consumer sentiment is a little bit weakening due to the higher inflation and the higher oil price.
I'm with you. But let's talk about smaller asset classes, the sub-asset types. One of the best ones is industrial outdoor storage. The asset class that I hesitate to mention, but now doggone I'm going to mention it, is life sciences, which has gotten hit really, really hard. What do you see in some of these sub-asset classes?
It's very interesting talking about IOS, because I was with some investors here in Dallas, you know, 2 weekends ago, and the people talk about IOS. I think the IOS is definitely emerging as alternative asset classes, given the reshoring, nearshoring. I think that create a demand for us. And the second component you highlight for life sciences, it's a similar story we heard about offices, you know, about retails a few years ago. I think life sciences has been through the tough patch over the last 18 months. The market is very, very close to the bottom. And I have to say, if you are a small investor, pick up the life sciences, and now is a good time to negotiate how to get a big bargain. And the market will recover. Once it recovers, it's going to be fast and furious.
And I believe it's going to be in places like La Jolla. It's going to be in San Francisco. It's going to be in Cambridge. I think it's also going to be on or pertinent to large research university campuses. I think there's life sciences is a niche industry, but if you get the right location, you get the right demand drivers, now is an unbelievably great buy for that subsegment.
You just nailed it. I think during the COVID time, people, every single city, they want to call themselves as a life sciences hub. But come on. You're just being realistic. And how many life sciences hubs we have in the US? You're talking about San Diego area, Bay Area, probably otherwise Boston. All the others might take a longer time to recover, but those major hubs will recover first.
Henry, we've been speaking a lot about what investors are thinking, and the news is generally good to very good. And to some degree, getting back to more of a normal environment, a pre-COVID type of environment. But we've got a lot of occupiers listening to this. What is their perspective? And let's just keep it simple. Let's do industrial and an office. What are they thinking today? Where is value? What are the types of decisions they should be making?
I think number one, flight to quality is across every single segment. Everyone knows about it. Think about that, the flight to quality. Number two is a plan for future spaces. I think you need to start thinking about your composition of your labor forces, because the AI does have a drastic impact on the way we work. So I think occupiers should thinking about what's the composition of labor. The third one, I want everyone to know that vacancy rate for prime assets in ideal locations are trending down. So if you put all of those 3 points together, I think the occupiers should take advantage to sign up the leases for those suitable spaces as soon as possible, because they still have the window to get a better deal before the market switched to the landlord favor side.
What are your final thoughts for our listeners for the first quarter of 2026?
Well, I think, Spencer, we've been highlighting throughout the conversation, I think we just try not to be overclouded by those news headlines, because the news headline does have a sensational assumptions when it comes to real estate. Do remember, real estate is a function of demand and supply. Lack of supply will be a feature. And demand, we haven't seen any slowdown based on the pipeline we are seeing, based on the macro forecast we are seeing. So it's still relatively solid. And now also people looking about the oil prices versus real estate value. Spencer, I want to highlight, we did so many analysis. There aren't significant correlations between real estate value, cap rate, and the oil prices. And that the biggest uncertainty we are facing is how long the duration of a conflict. Even we were looking at the previous geopolitical issue, even the conflict is getting so drastically longer, we're going to see the dip in a quarter or two maximum before recover back. And then that's not the basic thesis we are subscribing to. So therefore, we, you know, always thinking about fundamentals, demand and supply. Let it play out and stick with the math. I think you're going to get a decent returns going forward.
Well, on behalf of The Weekly Take, thanks again to you, Henry, to everyone in the audience.
Thank you, Spencer, and goodbye, everyone.
Henry will return to the show to keep you up to date on the best insights and information, and we'll return with regularly scheduled programming next week. And as always, you can find more on our website, cbre.com/The Weekly Take. Thanks for listening. I'm Spencer Levy. Be smart, be safe, be well.